And this is a common problem across all of government and industry for that matter. I mean, they're competing really for the same set of people. But DOD already has some plans and ideas for how to compete. General Alexander says while this command is just kind of bringing together the offensive and the defensive capabilities, it's really the people part that's key to the entire effort.
This is going to take time for us to generate the force. If you were to ask me what is the biggest challenge that we currently face, it's generating the people that we need to do this mission. We have our command stood up, our staff stood up, but the force is what we now have to rely on. The services are expanding that mission, going to 1,000 per year over the next few years, and I think we're headed in the right time. That's the biggest focus that we have, how we get that force generated, and the topic of discussion throughout the department. And I would tell you, rest assured, we know that that's important to get this done.
He says there will be an equal contribution in terms of people from all the services. Right now, it's not really on the equal side. Some people have more. Some services are providing less. But in the future, it will be more equal. Alexander says the National Security Agency, which he also is in charge of, recently had more than 800 applicants for, I think he said, a single job at the NSA. So he's very much encouraged by that and other examples of recruiting.
So part of the challenge here for DOD is not only getting the people, but making sure they have the right skills to meet the mission, right?
That's a huge issue, and Alexander says there's two things that DOD is doing. First off, they're creating and implementing training standards around cybersecurity.
Bringing in, whether it's the tools we create or the students we put through there, doing it as a joint force with one standard is the key thing, and we've taken that approach. So our cyber training is at one school. And if we have to go to multiple schools, it will be done with one standard. And I think that's what we need to do so that you know, our combatant commanders know, the folks that are forward know, that whether they get a soldier, Marine, airman, or sailor, that that person is trained to a standard and can accomplish the mission that's expected of them.
He says you just can't create a cyber operator by hiring them. It takes about 18 months to train them and ensure they have all the skills that's needed. In fact, he said there's some discussions to have what they call on-the-job training to increase DOD's capacity immediately and then send these cyber operators to more formal training later on.
I am optimistic that we will get the force that we need. We are pushing on the services to go faster to bring those forces in. And the issues that we've talked about, how do you not only recruit some of these, but how do you retain them? And in what mix do you bring them in? Are they all military? Are they military civilian? How do we add those mixes in? And how do they complement other actors that we have within NSA, the IC, and other elements, DHS as an example? How do we bring all that together are parts of the discussion. If I were to tell you my greatest concern, it's moving fast enough to provide a capability to defend our networks in time if a crisis were to occur. We see that as our number one mission. Be ready. And right now, we have to build that force to get there. That's going to take some time. We have some force structure. The services have leaned forward on that. They are presenting some capabilities. We are moving down that road.
So the people challenge, enormous. What other kinds of things keep him up at night? There has to be. He can't sleep at all.
I'm amazing he gets any sleep. But there's several, obviously. He said one of the biggest non-workforce concerns is the harm that could come from what he calls destructive attacks.
And we are concerned that those are the next things that we will see. And those are things that can destroy equipment. So it's not something that you recover from by just stopping the traffic. It is something that breaks a computer or another automated device. And once broken, has to be replaced. That could cause tremendous damage. In the department's concern, if that were to happen in a war zone, that means our command and control system and other things suffer. We've got to be prepared for that, both from a defensive perspective and then to ensure that the enemy can't do that to us again. So full operational capability.
He also mentioned the supply chain and insider threats are other things that DOD must address. Alexander said DOD is working on both of these, and both require what he calls more of a dynamic defense, which is something we've heard from in the past from both DOD and other agencies. This includes the idea of blue and red teaming the networks to what they call proactively hunt for bad guys on their networks. Several committee members also asked what Congress could do to support the command, and Alexander actually said there are two things. Continue to provide the resources, so obviously money and people, but also be open and act quickly when the White House submits a legislative package to the Hill to update cybersecurity laws for DOD and all of government. Alexander says there's discussions that are being led by Howard Schmidt, the White House cyber coordinator, and include DHS, FBI, DOD, and many others in terms of what laws need to be updated, what policy and regulations already exist that they can use, and where do they need to go moving forward.
So almost every DOD service has a role, at least some role to play. What are they all doing?
Well, the services actually are coming together under the Cyber Command. The Army, the Navy, and the Marines have offices right at Fort Meade in Maryland where the Cyber Command is located. And the Air Force, while headquartered in San Antonio, Texas, has what Alexander calls a pretty significant beachhead at Fort Meade as well. In fact, Alexander offered this little interesting tidbit about the role of Cyber Command is playing in Afghanistan.
We have actually deployed an expeditionary cyber support element to Afghanistan to support General Petraeus. I did not want him to beat me up for not doing that. We have a responsibility to help them protect their networks, the Afghan mission networks. We're working as part of a joint team because the services actually will implement that. We're ensuring that the capabilities put into that network are defensible and helping to set that up. We're not where we need to be in terms of setting all the things in place, but we've come a long ways. If you were to ask what's the real issue that we need to address, it's assuring that the evolving Afghan mission network is defensible, up and operating, because it's going to cover a number of countries that are in Afghanistan.
He also praised all the services for their efforts so far, especially saying the Navy is out in front when it comes to cyber. And remember, that's where Rob Carey, the former Navy CIO, just joined about 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
the Fleet Cyber Command.
Yeah.
Alexander also discusses DOD's work with DHS to share threat information and defensive capabilities. In fact, they have a team there with U.S. CERT, and the fact is there's a lot going on across government of what DOD is involved in. But as he says, and every agency knows, the people issue is really what needs to be focused on first.